After using my ultimate punchline last week, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Talked about getting fired. Such a wonderful group. It's been a privilege for me and for Sandy to come alongside this group and to just be together with all of you. Obviously, a lot of us have history together. We go back quite a ways. We've loved each other for a long time. And this has been nothing but fun for me. It's been good for me. And I've totally enjoyed this. One of the things that's really difficult when you're drawing to a close in a time like this is, what do you talk about? What can I leave you with? That's tough, you know what? I don't like doing that. But here we go. I have this friend at work, and I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. He went into a different group from where I was working. And I saw him again, and he looked completely different. I mean, completely different. He was skinnier, and he had a great big tattoo right across his throat. And I thought, wow, man, that's a different look right there. So I walked up to him, and I was reading his throat because it was writing, and it was kind of fancy writing. Somebody, the tattoo artist, was good. And it said, only God can judge me, all the way across his throat. And I thought, He said, what are you looking at? I said, well, your tattoo, man, it's a little bit different, you know. Only God can judge me. I said, that's true in some ways, you know, when it comes down to the eternal things, right? And he said, yeah. He said, I think it's true anyway. He's being pretty defensive about it, you know. And I said, well, you know, I said, all of us make judgment calls. He said, what do you mean? I said, what kind of toilet paper do you use, man? You go to the store, you don't just pick up any kind of toilet paper. No, you got your favorite. You make a judgment call. I like this because this is why. And I'm not going to go there as to why you pick out your favorite toilet paper, people, but you make a judgment call when you go to the store, don't you? Well, yeah. You have your favorite paper towels. Of course, I had to start with the absurd, didn't I? But all of us make judgment calls every day, all day long. Think about that. All of us make judgment calls every day. I like to hear somebody give me a hard time and say, you can't judge me. Because they're right. I liked it that my friend, even though he's a little bit crazy, got his big old tattoo. I wish he'd put it on his arm, though, to be honest with you. Because at least you can put a shirt on. He'd have to have a turtleneck up to here. There's no going back, man. One of the most misquoted and maligned sayings of Jesus Christ is what I wanted to talk about today. If somebody has a guilty conscience and they don't want to hear about repentance, they just want to keep doing what they're doing, they'll say, don't judge or you too will be judged. And in their convenient self-justification, they fail to finish that quote from Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And so I want to cover that because I want to talk about judgment today. Because it's part of our day-to-day lives, people. We have to have the ability to judge things. Otherwise, it won't matter whether it's Scott or Northern or whatever, right? Charmin, yeah, there you go. Too many choices. Then you get into generic brands, and who really makes those? We're going to get off of toilet paper right now. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching how to judge correctly. If we're to properly serve our Lord in our day-to-day living, we have to know this teaching. In fact, I would place this life lesson higher than any other as far as how we're instructed to relate to each other and to the rest of society. If you can't get this lesson planted in your heart, your Christianity is going to be called into question by those around you, and for good reason. In other words, if you can't handle judgment, if you are subject to judgment, not only by God Himself, but also by those who would seek to disarm your witness of faith, you have to be able to handle this properly. You do, as a Christian. In these six verses of Scripture, Jesus gives us several things to consider about judging. One, judgment brings responsibility. That stands to reason, doesn't it? Two, hypocritical judgment is out and out ridiculous. That's something else he points out. And three, discernment. Good discernment is necessary. Now, I want you to follow me through this teaching of our Savior, and hopefully when we're finished, you're going to have a balance in your mind of what God's will is for you in the area of judgment. Did you ever think that you would come to church on my last Sunday here and hear me talk about this? It's necessary, guys. Hold on. Christ said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove that speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Judgment is a way of life. We look at food and we judge whether or not we're going to eat it. We look at the sky and judge whether or not to take an umbrella to work. We make judgments every day. And my point is that the common misperception that a good Christian won't judge anything is simply stupid. It is. We need to be able to make judgments, don't we? That's been thrown up there by people that don't want to hear the truth. They want to shut you down and shut you up. And you're supposed to be testifying about Jesus Christ. And His judgment is righteous and true. For some guiding principles laid out for us, let's look at the Scriptures. Remember, I said one of those things that I wanted to point out is that judgment brings responsibility. Some simply take that verse 1 out of context and reason that they can escape judgment day by never judging another human being. And that's not what Scripture says there, and that's not what Scripture says elsewhere. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says, "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books." There is no way out of being judged, people. You're either going to be judged as one found in Christ, or you're going to be judged as one going straight to hell. And those are the facts laid out by God Himself. That's not Ed Hetherington standing up here condemning you. That's how God says it. And so I'm not going to back up, and I'm not going to tell you anything different. You're either in Christ or you're going to hell. It's a good idea to say, "Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior," because otherwise I have no hope. I look in the mirror, I see a guy that I don't like a lot of the time, I know I fail. And I've failed more than once, and just once is all it takes. You can be a really good person and still go to hell. You have to be in Christ. Some people argue over, what does it mean to be in Christ? I'll let somebody else argue that with you. If you'd like to talk about it, I'll talk about it with you. But today we're going to talk about judgment. Verse 1 in our Scripture, chapter 7 of Matthew, has to be connected to verse 2 in order to make sense for us, which is where I found that judgment brings responsibility. Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, It will be measured to you. Now, this teaching tells us that our own hearts will be used to measure out justice and mercy, and the measure that we use in judging others is going to be used on us. God said He would balance things out. Isn't that great to know? We don't have to. He will. The pressure's off, because I'll tell you what, I would mess that up too. I'm pretty good at messing things up when it comes to the eternal. You ever wonder why that is, that we can't handle it? I can't see tomorrow. How am I going to see eternity, right? That's how I can mess it up. It's real easy. This teaching that I just covered tells us that our own hearts are going to be used in our own judgment. Jesus told this parable one time about an unmerciful servant in chapter 18 of Matthew. And in that parable, we're the servants of the king, and the king decided to settle his accounts with his servants. One man owed him literally millions of dollars in our day, as far as our economy, and it was a debt that he couldn't pay, ever. And so the master ordered that the man, his wife and kids, and all his property be sold to recoup as much of the debt as possible. And the man falls to his knees and he begs for mercy. And so the master takes pity and he cancels the debt and he lets him go free. And then that servant goes out and he finds a fellow servant who owes him a few dollars and he demands that account be settled. And the other fellow's broke and he begs for mercy from his fellow servant but finds himself in debtor's prison. Well, the master then finds out about his behavior and has him brought in and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master reinstated his debt and turned him over to the jailers. Jesus said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart." Do you see? Judgment. Do you see how we're supposed to treat each other? Can I hold something against you and expect mercy from God? According to the scripture, no. I have to let it go. I have to let Him settle accounts. I can't judge you, no matter what you do to me. That's a hard road. I'm competitive. I was born with red hair. I can get mad. And I have to let God handle it. That's a climb. It is. Judgment brings responsibility. The measure we use, that's going to be used on us. So it's really important to be merciful in our dealing with others. Not stupid, not blind, not ignoring the truth, but merciful. It doesn't mean that because you hate me and you treat me like garbage, I'm going to keep stepping out in front of your car every day and let you run over my foot. That'd be kind of crazy. I'm going to watch out for you. I'm going to stay away from you. Obviously, you're going to make me act in a way that I'm not really wanting to. Do you understand what I'm saying? The second lesson on judgment that Jesus gives is that hypocritical judgment is out and out ridiculous. It really looks bad when we criticize and judge others while our lives are more worthy of judgment than theirs. Jesus uses a powerful word picture for us. He said, "Why do you look at that speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" It's absolutely ridiculous. But that's the point he was making. It is ridiculous. Think about that. How can you see past your own faults to look at someone else's faults? I tell people when I have relationship problems, and I do, because I need to have some more people talents. I know you think I'm great, but I'm not. But I teach new hires at Toyota. When you think you have a problem with somebody, the first thing you need to do is go home and look in the mirror, not get mad. Because I found that 95% of the time, it's me, not them. And if it isn't going to matter in 5 days, it isn't going to matter ever. Throw it out. It's your problem. Don't let it be in the way. Good advice? Yeah, hard for me to take. How about you? Jesus teaches us not to avoid using good judgment, but to be humble about it. In modern day terms, if you have a tendency to want to lay a judgment on somebody, you'd better go look in the mirror first. We need to examine our hearts before we look at somebody else's. And remember that just because you hate your own faults, you're going to be less tolerant of that in someone else. I'm a lazy person, and I look at lazy people, and they bum me out. And you might think, well, you can't be lazy. Look at all the stuff you do. I'm so lazy, I'll find an easier way to do what I have to do every time. I plug my brain in. That's how lazy I am. I'll think my way around something. And that gets on my nerves. Why is that? Finally, Jesus wraps up his lesson on judgment by telling us that discernment is really necessary in our lives. He says, don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. Now, what did he mean by that? Who are the dogs and pigs? And didn't Jesus' final statement carry a warning with it? That these animals would turn on us? The dogs and the pigs are the out-and-out opposers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are people who, if they can, will destroy you because in their minds they prove your faith wrong and then they're right. And the warning is real that Jesus gives. John the Baptist stood before Herod and told him, hey, your relationship with that lady that you're seeing is wrong. And guess what happened to him? He got his head lopped off. Yeah, that doesn't always go well for you. Herod could have taken that pearl of judgment and repented before God. But he had John the Baptist beheaded. Now we're talking about judgment in this passage, and some have taken this scripture to mean that we shouldn't evangelize either, because isn't that judging somebody's going to hell? No, that's taking a measurement with a tape measure. These are the facts. None of us measure up. All of us need Christ. That's what that is. That's not judgment, that's truth. Separate that. I liked what Warren Wiersbe wrote about this. The reason for judgment is not that we might condemn others, but that we might be able to minister to them. My greatest hope for this church and this group and this guy coming in is that all of you and him too will minister to the world and to each other with love in here, because that's when it's powerful. If you don't have love in here when you start, then you're just a professional. You can be all messed up, be imperfect, look at me, and still do a halfway decent job if you have love in your heart, right? That's what we need to have as the church, as servants of Christ. And sometimes you need to make a judgment call. You pick out your toilet paper however you want. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus is our example of using proper judgment to minister to others, to heal wounds, and to restore others. When we look at the relationships Jesus had with his disciples, we can see that there are ups and downs in there, but there's one relationship that gets talked about a lot in the scriptures, and that's that one between Peter and Jesus. And I like that because Peter's a hothead, and he's got problems with himself, and he needs a mirror to look in, and I guess he didn't have a mirror, so Jesus helped him out. Peter's this brash fisherman who's sworn that he would never forsake Jesus, and not too many hours later swore that he didn't even know who he was 3 times. And he repented of this with bitter tears, the Bible says, but there had to be a wedge in there in his heart, right, because of what he'd done. He had that baggage in his heart. And Jesus knew. And so he appeared to a group of them. First, he helped them catch a bunch of fish. And then they ate dinner. And John's Gospel, chapter 21, records how Jesus acknowledged those denials of Peter. There's your judgment. And then he healed Peter's heart with mercy and gives him forgiveness, which frees Peter emotionally and allows him to serve God with all his might. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him that third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus could see inside Peter's heart, and he knew that Peter really needed to deal with what had taken place. You know, psychologists today are just now catching up and realizing that our past experiences can have a drastic effect on our lives right now. And Jesus knew that Peter felt so separated from him. He had faithfully followed Jesus throughout his ministry, and after all of that, he failed him by denying knowing who he was. And Jesus saw that load of guilt in there, and he used good judgment. He didn't chew Peter out for cursing when he denied him. He didn't disown him for denying knowing who he was. He didn't try to shame him or lay more of a burden on him. He did acknowledge the three denials. He didn't avoid the truth or deny that there was an issue, but he gave Peter a new start, because each time he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he was giving Peter a chance to restate what he'd stated so vehemently and maybe badly before Jesus was crucified. And when Jesus had healed his heart of those things, he said to him, "Follow me." Judgment doesn't have to feel like a weight crashing down on you. Maybe it can feel like a healing inside. Maybe our judgment to the world ought to feel like the love of God. I think it should. Don't you? Yeah. Jesus is our example of how to use good judgment in our lives, and it isn't the contemporary common sense. It isn't keeping score until the end. It really is the process by which we are healed and restored to one another and to God. Picture yourself in Peter's shoes. All of us can. We have. Every one of us failed God. We deny Christ by the way that we sin, but God's judgment is merciful to his children, and he says today to all of us, "Do you really love me?" And how could we ever resist? And so we answer, "Yes, Lord, I do. I love you." And you know what he says? "Follow me." Our judgment of others should follow that teaching, that example of Christ Jesus. We have to determine who is in opposition to Christ and avoid making ourselves victims of them. Don't let them run over our feet with their car every day, right? And to all the rest of the whole world, we should be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We don't need to avoid the truth, but we shouldn't abuse people with it either. Remember, judgment should be about mercy, love, and restoration. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's another verse after that, by the way. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him and through those that would follow in his name. It's up to us to use our judgment that we've been taught by him to show love to the world, to help people approach that throne of grace. To those who are not yet Christians, this message should ease your worries and fears of joining into the family of Jesus, because he's already paid the price for your sins at the cross. And now all he's saying is, hey, come to me. He's shown his love for you by his sacrifice, and he asks you that simple question, do you love me? And if the answer is yes, all you need to do is accept him. And I'm going to tell you something. When that happens, there's a great big celebration. You might think people are going to look at you funny because you do it. That's not so. Crazy preachers that are dressed in dress clothes will get in cold water with you. That's how much of a celebration it is. Jesus is asking all of us this morning, do you love me? How are you going to answer that? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to you for this day, for blessing us, each one, with your word. We thank you for your love, which is just boundless and amazing. We pray that you'll guide us as we go through our lives. Show us how to be your children. Show us how to show your love to everybody that we run into. Show us how to be an example for the world. And show us how to pick and choose our way and serve you more every day. In Jesus' name.